Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, dear God. May it minister to our hearts. For those of us that have been saved, what a wonderful sermon just to kind of take our fingers and run through the pile of gold that comes through salvation. Let it just trickle through our fingers and be reminded of what a blessing it is to be saved and of the blessings that come from and with salvation. And so, Lord, if there is someone here this morning that's never received Jesus, I know what it's like to walk into a church and not be saved. I know what it is to sit and listen and have the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God minister to my heart. And I pray, dear God, that everyone here today would receive the Word of God readily and listen to that still small voice. Thank you for your faithfulness, dear Lord, to bless the preaching of your Word. And we ask for that blessing now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Every one of us probably has a few stories like this. There's those opportunities, there's those times when the Lord just blesses you and allows you to get just a really, really, really good deal on something. Every spring, and this has been going on for about 10 years now, I pull out of my shed what I call my miracle garden tiller. I wanted a real nice, heavy-duty, big-engine, rear-tine tiller. And I had wanted one for some time, and every spring I would go and price them, and every spring I would say, I'm not paying that much, and so I did not have one for some time. And so I was going through my spring habit of going to the different stores, praying that somehow these $800, $900, and $1,000 rear-tine tillers would have been miraculously marked down to $29.95, and I could finally get me one. And so I looked again, and every place I went, you know, $7.99, $8.99, $9.99 for what I wanted. I went to Tractor Supply Company, and I looked at the ones on the floor, and they were $7.99 up, and I thought, well, I just can't pay that for a tiller. And so I asked the guy, is this all you have? And he said, yeah, I think so. And kind of a young guy. And he said, you know, there's some more in the back. He said, I think they're the same thing, but I'll go check. So I said, well, I'll go with you. So he took me back there, and we looked, and there's four or five more, and they were the same thing that was sitting out on the showroom floor and had the same price on them. And so I said, well, no, this isn't what I'm looking for. And I was getting ready to leave, and I turned around and looked over in the corner of their little warehouse area, and there was a rear-tine tiller sitting there. It had a flat tire, but it looked brand new. There was a little bit of dirt on the tines, but, I mean, the paint wasn't even worn out. Looked like, honestly, somebody had taken it out and used it one time. And I said, what's the story of that one? And he said, I don't know. And he said, I said, well, who would know? And he said, well, the manager would probably know. I said, would you go get the manager? So the manager came back. And he came into the room, and he was kind of in a hurry, and I think he felt like he was being bothered. And I said, hey, tell me the story about this tiller over here. He said, oh, I don't know. Somebody bought it last summer. He said, are you any good at working it on motors? And I said, well, maybe. I said, depends on what's wrong with it. And he said, I don't know what's wrong with it. He said, the guy bought it last year, took it, used it one time, brought it back, said there was something wrong with the motor, and we pushed it over in the corner. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you want it, you can have it for $75. I said, okay, do you mind if I try to start it? And say, yeah, just come tell me what you want to do. And boom, he was out of there. So I went over and checked the oil, and it was fine, and looked in the fuel tank, and there's gas in it. And I put it on choke and pull it about twice, and it coughs once, tries to run, put it over, turn the choke off, pull the thing again, and, man, it just starts up, just runs. Just I can't hear a thing wrong with it. I get behind it. I hit reverse. It goes backwards. I hit forward. It goes frontwards. I can't figure out what's wrong with this thing. And then all of a sudden, being a guy, I realized what happened. Some guy went and bought this tiller without talking to his wife about it. That's exactly, I'm telling you, men. Come on, ladies, is this right? And he was out there in his garden, you know, with his brand new tiller, tilling his garden, getting his courage up. So when his wife pulled in, he was going to say, woman, I don't care what you think. If I want this, I want this. And then he showed up, lost courage. She told him to take it back, and he took it right back to the store. Got his money back. I don't know if that's what happened, but knowing human nature, there's a good chance that that may have been the exact thing that happened. $75. I go in there and I said, "Are you sure about this?" Yeah. And I said, "I can't find anything wrong with it." He said, "Listen, it's a nightmare. It's on our inventory list. It's a nightmare. I need it out of here. $75. You want it, you got it." I went and took the tire off of it, took it in, had a guy put an inner tube in it, paid him $20. And so for $85, I've got this dream machine that I've wanted all these years. And every spring when I take it out and start it up and till my garden with it, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me have this rear tine tiller." And the answer to your next question is, no, you may not borrow it. All right. No. What a deal. I got to tell you another story that happened this week. It's exciting. It's a blessing. I was talking to our young people about seeing the hand of God in our Sunday school class. By the way, we got good young people here. I'm having the time of my life down there. I think they're all tolerating me, but I'm having the time of my life down there. Having a good time. And I was talking to him about seeing the hand of God. Moses wanted to see God face to face. And God said, "Well, there's a problem with that. If I let you do it, you die." So he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll put you in a cliff to the rock." And he said, "I'm going to pass by." And what Moses was allowed to see was the afterglow of God's glory. We could never look at God in his full intensity, not in these mortal bodies, and live. But he said, I'll let you see what no man's seen. And by the way, I'm going to say it again because now I'm preaching, right? You know how much of God you're going to get to see? As much as you want. You know why Moses had that opportunity? Here's something deep. He asked for it. He was hungry for it. So I was telling them, I know that they got to see what the Bible, King James Bible, calls the back parts of God or the afterglow of God. But I said, what else did Moses get to see? Okay, they put him in the cleft of the rock, and he said, "I'll do what?" He said, "I'll put my hand over that crevice." And you know what? He not only got to see the afterglow of the glory of God, but he got to see the hand of God. And can I say this, folks? I want to see the hand of God. I want to see him move. I don't mean look at him like this. I'm talking about see his hand move in my life. I want to see God's hand move in the church's life. I want to see God's hand move in amongst our young couples and our senior saints and our middle-aged class. I want to see God's hand move in the lives of our young people. And you know what? If you want to see the hand of God, you know what you do? You got to get hungry for it. Most people, I'm sorry to say this, look right up here, I'm trying to help you. Most people are more hungry to see what's out in the world than they are to see the hand and working of God in their life. But you know what? You don't get to live with one foot in both arenas. Moses separated himself into the tabernacle and got away from the world and said, "Lord, let me see your glory." And he said, "Okay, I'll show it to you. I want to see the hand of God." I told the young people the story about getting to see the hand of God this week. We've had a couple of miraculous things happen around here. I wish I could tell you all the story of everything. But I got a call last Saturday, not yesterday, a week ago. And we were planning this trip with some of our core teams, and they've paid the price to be able to go on this trip. And we're taking some of them to the Hopi Indian Reservation this summer in Arizona. We were going to take our church van and my vehicle, the church provides for me, the Toyota, and we were going to take those two. And the more we were looking at the van, the more nervous we were getting, and we realized we're probably going to have to drop a couple $1,000s into it just to get it that road ready. And then we were going to have about $1,800 in fuel between the two vehicles, and so it was going to be kind of pricey, but that's the best we had. I got a call last Saturday. Jesse and Heather McCammon were out on visitation and ran into a young man who used to attend the church that I pastored in Brazil, Indiana, as a teenager and was there for several years. His name is Brian Morris. Him and his wife Amanda live over in Cole City, and they were asking about the church and asking how everything was going, and somewhere in the conversation it came up about this church, this trip, and Brian called me then. This past Saturday, well, he actually called me Monday and left me a message. I called him back, left him a message. He called me Saturday, left me a message. I called him back Saturday, he left me a message. You get to a point where you just start saying, you know, "You're it." That's the message. "You're it." And playing phone tag. Finally got a hold of him. And he said, "Hey, I was talking to one of the young couples from your church." And he said something about some trip. "What are you doing?" And I told him, I told him the whole story, and hey, me and my wife's going to take these young people off and take them to this Indian reservation, let them do missions work there, and just, you know, this is what we're doing. He said, how are you getting there? And I told him, we got a van that we're going to pray there and back, and we've got a vehicle that if the van folks breaks down, we can put a tow rope to it and drag it the rest of the way. And that's the plan. And he said, I know you know that I work at the federal prison, but I don't know if you know that I also drive for Turner Coach. And I said, Brian, listen to me. I've already priced Turner Coach. And he said, yeah, they probably told you somewhere between $8,000 and $12,000. And I said, yeah, they did. It cost us $10,000 if we were going to use Turner Coach. He said, we can't do that. He said, well, what you don't know is that, he said, I'm not going to be driving for them much longer. He said, I bought my own charter bus. I'm going to go in business for myself. And I said, you're kidding me. And I said, Brian, I've checked it out, and I wouldn't do you wrong, and I know I can't afford it. He said, listen to me. Preacher, listen to me. He said, you carted me as a teenager, you and your wife, everywhere. You took us on so many trips. And he said, my life was changed under your ministry. And he said, if you'll pay the fuel, I'll drive you to Arizona and back. Come on now. Woo. You know what I said? What a deal. What a deal. I mean, isn't that crazy? You know what that's called, folks? That's called seeing the hand of God. And listen, every once in a while, we all have got stories like that. I mean, if you're faithful to the Lord and you're serving Him, I didn't say if you were perfect. God doesn't just bless perfect people. Aren't you glad God does? If that was a requirement, none of us would get blessed. Amen. But if God sees that you're sincere, that you're trying, and you know what? You try to be faithful and you try to be generous and you try to fill needs when God gives you an opportunity. You know what? God's always good about blessing His children. Now, folks, I just want to take a few minutes here this morning and talk about what a deal salvation is. And I'm glad we got the charter bus, and I'm really glad I got that, you know, manly man garden tiller, you know. But compared to salvation, that's dollar store stuff, man. I mean, what a deal. Think about this. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The greatest deal ever offered to mankind was the deal of salvation. Salvation is the greatest deal ever offered to mortal man. Say, preacher, what would happen if I got saved today? What if I take God up on this? I mean, notice what the Bible's saying here. God's literally saying, listen, be reasonable. Just be reasonable. Just be logical about it. I mean, let's sit down and talk about this just from a logical standpoint. Let me reason with you. Good night. Your sins, folks, watch this. Your sins, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, listen, I've got a great deal for you. You have a chance for your sins to be forgiven. There's so many things that we get when we get saved. There's so many things that come with that wonderful package deal. I love the verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that talks about the gift of God being eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think that when we receive salvation, we don't even understand all the things that come with that package deal. And so we're just going to spend some time having some fun and reading some Bible this morning and talking about what a deal it is to be saved. Say, preacher, if I got saved today, what would happen? All right, number one, your sins would be forgiven. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 103, 12, as far as the east is from the west, I like this verse, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. What a deal. What a deal. the day that you came and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? Your sins are completely taken care of. I like the word propitiation found in the Bible three times. Big old giant word. What does that mean? Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. 1 John 2:2, for he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. Let me tell you what that word's explaining. Here is Jerry Ross, and here is my record, and here's a record of all my sin. And here is Jesus Christ, and on his record is his unblemished righteousness. When we got saved, the day that I got saved, Jesus came over and said, I'm going to take my blood, and I'm going to take care of all of these sins. And these sins I'm going to put on me and place on me. And by the way, I've paid for them on Calvary's cross. And not only am I going to take your sins off of your record, I'm going to take my righteousness and put them on your record where your sins used to be. Now, folks, listen to me. When I stand before God, the only reason that I'm allowed into heaven is this: because God will see me through the righteousness of his own son. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Now listen, folks, we have a great opportunity to be saved. And those of you that are saved, one of the things that comes with the deal is the fact that your sins will be forgiven. Number two, your eternal destiny will be changed. Your eternal destiny will be changed. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke chapter 16 verse 19 tells us about a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. What a sad verse. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Listen, I'm not going to read all of the story, but I want you to understand something. There is no purgatory. The Bible teaches that there's two destinations, and you're going to go to one of them, and so am I. And if you have never been saved, you don't say, preacher, I've never done anything bad enough to have to go to hell. Listen, folks, we all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know what? We were born into this world on the wide way that leads to destruction. That's the road we were born on. But there is a narrow way and a straight way that leads to eternal life. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, as I mentioned a minute ago, listen, I don't want you to feel bad about that. I want you to understand, preacher, I may be in the wrong place. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you're in the right place. I know what it is to walk into a church and not be saved. I know what it is to stay there and listen to the preaching and try to figure out what the preacher was talking about. I know what it is, as he read the scripture, to feel my heart burn within me, and I didn't even understand what was going on, but it was the conviction of God and the drawing of the Father saying, listen, you need to hear this. Listen, you need to be saved. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? You can have your eternal destiny, your eternal destination changed this morning. What happens when you get saved? What comes with it? Your decision would initiate the construction of your mansion. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, if you have an NIV, you're just going to get rooms. But I'm glad I got a King James Holy Bible, amen. You can live in your room, I'll live in my mansion. Thank you very much. If it were not so, I would have told you. I don't want to live in an apartment somewhere. I'd done that when we first got married. No, I don't want to do that. A mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. I like that. Jesus said, listen, if this wasn't true, I'd tell you it wasn't true. But since I'm telling you it's true, it's true. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what, folks, listen to me. The decision to receive Jesus Christ, what comes with the deal is the Bible says that Jesus said, listen, this is when he was getting ready to die, and he was getting ready to go to the cross, and then he'd be resurrected, and then he would spend his ministry at the right hand of the Father. And he said, I'm going to be up there in charge of a construction project. And every time somebody gets saved, you know what? Another mansion is being constructed in heaven. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know where you live here on earth. You may live in a very humble place. You may live in a very, very nice home. But I can tell you this, all of them is going to look like shacks when we see where we are going to live and what is waiting for us on the other side. Now, folks, what a deal. Good night. What a deal. Number four, your decision would touch off a celebration in heaven. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what? There's something going on that we cannot see in this morning's service. There is a visible creation. There's an invisible creation. But I tell you this, during the preaching of God's word, especially a salvation message like you're hearing this morning, I promise you this, the attention of heaven is focused on a place like Blessed Oak Baptist Church. The Bible talks about a cloud of witnesses. These are the people that have already died and gone to heaven. And you know what they're doing? They are praying. And by the way, they're praying for you to be saved. They're wishing for you to be saved. They're rooting for you to be saved. Some of you got a grandma that's up in heaven. You know what? She prayed the whole time she was here on earth, wanting you to be saved. Some of you have a grandpa that's in heaven. You know what? He prayed the whole time you were here on earth wanting you to be saved. You say, preacher, grandma and grandpa's passed away. I missed their prayers. What are you talking about? I mean, they're in the presence of Jesus right now. I imagine if their prayers have ever been effective, they're being effective right. Listen, I'm trying to help someone. I don't know who's here. And maybe everybody that's here is already saved. And if that's true, then you know what? We'll just have fun this morning, rejoice about all the blessings that we have as saved people. But if you're here this morning, and you're without Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you understand it or not, there is an entire cloud of witnesses. The Bible says they're rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The angels of the Lord, behold what's going on here. And you know what? The Son of God wants you to come. Listen, the Son says come. The Bride says come. The Spirit says come. The Father wants you to be saved. You realize that every single element in the invisible world that is anointed and blessed and good is rooting for you to be saved today. That's what comes with the deal. What a deal! Hey, you want to set off a celebration in heaven? Walk the aisle this morning. Take the hand of the man that will be standing up here and say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need to be saved this morning. You talk about breaking off a celebration in heaven. There will be rejoicing, the Bible says, in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. What a deal. What a deal. What else happens when you get saved? Your decision would be the answer to a loved one's prayer. Now, some of you have loved ones here on earth that are praying for you to be saved. Some of you have loved ones in heaven that's praying that you'll be saved, asking the Father, please, please, convict them. Please, please, I want to see my loved ones saved. This is going to shock some of you. Some of you have loved ones in hell that's praying for you to be saved. You say, preacher, you didn't finish the story in Luke chapter 16. All right, I'll read the rest of it now. And he said, the rich man said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know, if you have a lost loved one that's died and they're not in heaven, let me tell you this, they don't want you to come where they're at. You know, they're praying right now, oh God, please. Oh God, please, it's too late for me. Would you send some preacher, some Christian to go talk to my lost loved one? That's what the Bible says here, folks. Listen to me, what a deal. What a deal. Your salvation will be the answer to the prayers of people on earth and people in heaven, and yes, even people in hell. What a thought. Number six, what a deal. What else comes with salvation? Your name would be forever recorded in the book of life. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two judgment seats are spoken of. Two judgment seats are recorded for us. The Bible teaches there'll be two judgment seats. One is the Bema seat. That's the judgment seat for those that are saved. You do not stand at that judgment seat in order to find out whether or not you're on your way to heaven or not. You make that decision while you're here on earth. This is the judgment seat for those that are saved. Your sins will have been wiped away. You will be rewarded or suffer the loss of reward depending on your service to God and your stewardship of what God gave you. But there's another judgment seat called the Great White Throne Judgment. And folks, everybody that comes to that one, it's already predetermined. You see, the Bible says that they're judged according to their works. Why is that? Because you know what? You either receive Jesus Christ by grace through faith and you're saved by grace, or by refusing to be saved by grace, you're saying, you know what, I'm good enough to go to heaven based on my works and who I am. The only problem is when that book's opened, you know what we're going to see? It doesn't matter how many good things you try to do, there's still a lot of sin in that book. And there's a big library in heaven, and I believe everybody's life's recorded in some book, and God's going to open it up, and you're going to be judged according to your works. Now, there is one other book there, and that's the book of life. And every single time, listen, Jenny and Danny, last Monday when I was sitting in your trailer and we went through the Bible and the two of you looked at me and said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And they're going to be baptized here in just a minute. And they bowed their heads and they prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me tell you something. God looked over to whatever angel records the name and says, write their name in the book of life. Come on now. Woo! Come on now. Back in 1966, Gerald Lee Ross was written in the book of life. Come on now. Is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? He said, preacher, I'm not sure. You need to get sure about that. You need to get sure about that. Well, can we know? Yes, we can know. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, listen, you can't get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. One man said this, God doesn't have any grandchildren, only children. Think about that. Think it through. Well, mama was saved and daddy's saved, so I'm all right. No. You know what? Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be saved. You have to make the decision. And so, thank God, the day that you're saved, you know what happens? What's part of the deal that happens? Your name gets written in the book of life. You get to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a book written to save people. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? For ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Romans 8, 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And one of the benefits, one of the things that comes along with that gift of eternal life is the minute that you get saved, God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. You know, let me help you with something. Watch this. Girls, are you listening to me? Watch this. God did not intend for you to live out your time here on earth without his divine help. I mean, this life is too overwhelming and too complex and too fraught with the snares of the devil for anyone to go very far down the road of life without getting into serious problems if they do not have the direction and the indwelling, still small voice of the Spirit of Almighty God. What I'm saying is this. This road called life is not an easy road. And you know what? God never intended you to walk that road alone. He wants to send a member of the triune God, a member of the Trinity, his Holy Spirit, to live inside of you and to direct you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he lives inside of me. Thank God that throughout the day when it seems like I'm confused and I can't focus because there's so many things going on, that I can bow my head and say, sweet Spirit of God, please quiet my mind and quiet my heart and help me to give full focus to what I need to do here. And he answers that prayer. Thank God that I pray and ask him, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. You know what? If we would initiate a conversation and contact with the Holy Spirit that we say lives in, you know, the saddest thing in all the world, and it's probably true of a handful of people in this room, listen to me, I can teach you something here. Some of you have been saved for years, and that means you've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit for years, and you've never said one word to him in your life. He's not some third-class, third-rate member of the Godhead. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. And he's the member of the triune God that's sent to live inside of us. Why don't we speak to him? Why don't we get up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, as I read your word, would you please teach me your word? That's one of the reasons he's been given to us, to be a tutor to teach us the Bible. He's our prayer partner. When we don't know what to pray, the Bible says the Spirit knows what to pray for us in our place. I mean, listen, he's the one that directs us to divine appointments. Danny and Jenny, can I tell a little bit about what happened last when the kids came by on Wednesday? I don't want to embarrass them, but I just like to see the hand of God. I was telling the teenagers this story. Amelia and Sister Rita Weddle were out visiting in Worthington. This dear, sweet lady right here, and I want you to get to know her, lost her daddy last February. And her daddy was a Christian, born-again Christian. And she brought the children to the bedside and said, I want you to get in church. I want you to promise me you'll get in church. And this has haunted her and bothered her. Her and Danny last Wednesday are talking about this in their trailer. She's overcome with grief. And she's saying, I made a promise to my dad and I haven't kept it. We got to find a church. We got to get in church. Come on now. Come on now. Danny told me after they left, he took the gospel tract, turned around and said, think maybe your dad had something to do with this? Come on now. Came on Sunday morning. Came on Sunday night. I had no idea the situation with her father. Had no idea, no inkling. I preached Sunday night on tears. And I'm very transparent with the church and talk about how I'm going through just a little bit. You know, grief is weird. I told you this. But, you know, you think you're over something, and then all of a sudden one thing, and it all, you know, you feel like you went back to the starting. And I'm going through that with Dad. It's almost like he died again. And I've just struggled with it. So I'm up here in the pulpit last Sunday night talking about this, being transparent with you, and talking about tears and what tears mean to God. And thank God that Jesus wept. And you know, he knows, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and talking to you about all that stuff. And I look out, and this little girl's crying, And Danny's patting her, and I don't know what's going on. And afterwards, I go down, and he said, Preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand the reason we're here. The reason we came is because her daddy passed away. And here you are up there talking about how your dad passed away. And everything that you said is exactly what she's facing. You helped us. Thank you. I went to their house on Monday and was able to lead them both to Christ. Listen to me. What I'm saying is this, folks. Watch. What a deal. What a deal. Now, if you want to spend your life ignoring the Holy Spirit of God, then do it. I think you're foolish. If you'd rather, you know, grieve him by living a sinful life or quench him because you don't care, you know, everybody's mistreated you so much you just don't care anymore. Oh, my goodness sakes, you've had it so rough. You live in America. I mean, you've had it so rough. Come on now, look at me. I'm talking about some of you that, you know, keep sending the invitations out for everybody to come to your pity party. The honest truth is, we live like kings. We live in the best, most blessed country in the nation. We eat better and live better than three-fourths of the world. Every once in a while, I hear some of our teens whining, and one of the reasons I'm taking on this mission trip, I want to put them on a plane, send them to a third world country and say, you know what, go spend a week ministering to people that really got it tough, and then come back and tell me about how tough your life is. One of the things you won't do around me very long, you know it. You know your preacher. I'm not going to come to your pity party. And I'm sorry, I know life's hard, and I know there's tears, and I know things. I know. But you know what? We are so blessed. When upon life's billows, we are tempest-tossed. When we are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, folks, listen to me. When you get saved, one of the things that come with the deal is this. God places His Spirit inside of you. And listen, I'm not saying you'll never have to face a difficulty. Okay, life doesn't become problem-free when you get saved. But watch this. You'll never again have to face a problem in life alone. Right. Never. Never. What a deal. What a deal. You become a new creature in Jesus Christ. What a deal. Your decision will probably result in the salvation of others. What a deal. I've got too many points here. You would live forever with the peace that comes with knowing that you're ready for heaven. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Listen, folks, before you're saved, you don't have the peace of God. After you get saved, you receive the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And no matter what crazy thing is going on in your life, you know what? Down deep in your heart, you know what? This life is a vapor. It appears for short times and passes away. And there's a better place. And you know what? It ain't going to be, listen, folks, I don't know how bad you've got it right now and what's going on. And I want you to think I'm diminishing the fact that people have hurts. I know that, but listen to me. There's not anything that we're going through right now, anybody's going through, that's going to mount to a hill of beans 100 years from now. It'll be a bleep on the radio. It'll be a little speed bump that we went over. Listen, folks, we'll be spending, listen, you've got a whole eternity to shout and rejoice. No tears, no crying. No sickness, no death, no sin, in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. Are you listening to me? Watch this. Listen, what a deal. Every once in a while, I'll witness to somebody and I'll lay out how to be saved and what Jesus Christ has done for them and what they receive as a result of salvation. And I'll have that person look at me and say, no, I just, not today. I'm just not interested. And there's a part of me that just literally stands there in utter amazement. I mean, God provides for us the best deal that you could ever be. I mean, folks, this is better than a garden tiller. And for those of us that like gardening, that's saying something, all right? This is better than a charter bus, just pay the fuel and a little insurance. Are you listening to me? God has a deal for you today. Now, if you're saved, you know what? Get in on all the benefits that come with it. Get in on all of it. Okay? If you're not saved today, you know what? You can walk an aisle and you can be saved. We have people here at the church. We have two men that will be standing up here in just a minute. And they're up here for a reason. If you'll come and shake hands with one of them and just tell them, I need to be saved. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady. Take the Bible and go through the scriptures carefully. Make sure you understand what salvation is. And you can leave this building this morning knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Put your head on your pillow tonight. Never have to worry about what happens. Amen. If I die, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I mean, you know what? Some of you have been praying that every night of your life. And you know what? If you'd get saved, you wouldn't have to pray that anymore. It's taken care of. Or you can be saved today. You can be saved. If you're a man, you come forward, we'll get a man. If you're a young person, you know what? We'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're not saved, don't leave here today turning your back on the greatest deal that's ever been offered. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to just stand up and read some of your word this morning. And Lord, you've been so good to us, so generous to us. Lord, we've disappointed you and we failed you, and you create a perfect world and a perfect garden, and you put two people in there that are without sin, and you give us one rule and we break it. It seems like, Lord, we have disappointed you, and there's no one that can fault Adam and Eve because we've all chosen to sin in our lives. And I thank you, dear God, that forgiveness of sin is part of the deal. I'm so thankful, Lord, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ on our account is part of the deal. That heaven is part of the deal. Mansions are part of the deal. Celebration, answered prayer. Our names forever written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Holy Spirit coming in to live inside of us. The transforming power of the new birth, the new creature in Christ. the opportunity to influence others to be saved, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Lord, so many things come with salvation. You not only save us, Lord, but you allow us to live life abundantly. If there's someone here without you, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction of sin upon their life. Dear Father, please draw them to yourself. Please draw them. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on Calvary's cross, dying for our sins, being buried, raising again the third day, and then now offering to us the gift of eternal life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's someone here today and you say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I just don't know. While you were preaching, God was working in my heart. And he's been creating an unrest in my soul this morning. I know I need something. I know I need to make a decision for God. Listen, we don't embarrass people here. I won't call you by name. Nobody's going to come get you, tap you on the shoulder, nothing like that. But I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure where I'd go. I'm just not saved, and God is working on my heart. Just pray for me, preacher. Just pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning so I can pray? Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Just slip your hand up, and I'll be sure to include you in my closing prayer. How many of you are here this morning and say, preacher, I'm saved? And I just want to say with uplifted hand, thank God for that message and thank God for everything that comes with salvation. What a blessing. Would you join me with my hand up in the air? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, bless our time of invitation. Lord, I didn't see the hand of anyone that raised their hand, dear God, that's not saved. But if there's someone here, perhaps they were shy in raising their hand, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them not to leave the building this morning without talking to someone. Maybe someone that rode a bus. On the way home, may they talk to a bus worker or the bus captain. Maybe a young person would find their Sunday school teacher after the service and say, could you talk to me? I want to make sure that I'm ready for heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God, our invitation time. We pray these things in Jesus' name.